I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop, smoke is kind of your whole thing. But I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo stove, fixed fire. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
It's such a good pick-me-up in the middle of the night. 4 a.m. on the East Coast, 1 a.m. in the Pacific time zone, and when it comes to Alaska and Hawaii, you all are stragglers, but you're catching up. We are moving into our Tuesday, November 28th. Wow. By the end of this week, it will in fact be December. And no, I'm not going to freak out about everything that still needs to be done before I take off for Texas for really 18 days. That's coming up. It's on the horizon. For those of you who are curious and still have questions about the upcoming nuptials, Producer Jay and I are going to do a combined Ask Amy Anything Walks Down the Aisle video version. We're actually going to record it later this week because he tells me you're still asking questions about the wedding, which is now not even 3 weeks away. Nope, not going to freak out. Not going to freak out. So we'll do that video version come at the end of this week. Like I said, combined holidays with Christmas on the horizon, as well as your final wedding questions answered. So Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle part three, but with a holiday twist. So if you don't have our YouTube channel in your favorites, it bookmarked, well, you should do that. You should subscribe to it. I know a lot of you actually subscribe and are followers to my blog, so you get an email every time there's a new post. And for those of you who are curious, I did just answer a couple of your pertinent post-wedding questions in my latest blog post. It is actually up on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, too. I do appreciate your curiosity. I really do. I wanted to right away on Sunday night into Monday morning tell you about my latest epic fail in the kitchen, but we just didn't have time. And Bob actually asked me on our Monday evening phone call, so the pie story coming up on tonight's show? Uh-huh. I promised, and I never go back on my word. If it is at all possible, I never go back on my word. Sometimes late. Very often late, actually, but I do deliver on my promises. Speaking of that, just really quickly, the After Hours Zoom Room, Producer Jay has reached out to a bunch of you, those of you who were the closest to our random number that we guessed from a couple of weeks ago. So if you were anywhere close to 346, that was the guess, well, it was the number that I wrote down that you were guessing toward. Make sure you check out your, how did you reach out to people?
Facebook Messenger is where I need to hear back from.
Facebook Messenger is how he reached, so all the answers were on Facebook?
No, the other ones were Twitter, but I've heard responses from Twitter people.
Okay, gotcha. So if you think that you were close to 346, maybe you can't remember your guess, but if you think you were close to 346 and you are a Facebook listener, you know who you are. I do think Facebook is the devil, but we get a lot of responses from our Facebook page, so we keep it going. In fact, I think we're about 45,000 followers on our Facebook page, or friends. We can call you all friends on our Facebook page. So for those of you who were close to that number, make sure you check out Facebook Messenger because we still need to hear from a few of you. We'll do a holiday Zoom room, but again, coming up quickly because within the next 2.5 weeks, I'm done for the year. Until after Christmas. I've got three shows the week between Christmas and New Year's, but that's it. Otherwise, I'll be taken off on the morning of December 13th and won't be back with you for quite a while until after the wedding. So make sure you check it out. Our Facebook page is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Then you know our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. Our phone number 855-212-4227. Coming up this hour, a little QB news, latest on a couple of injuries. Also, we'll dive into some of the college drama from the weekend. Week 13 in college. We're heading into conference championships this weekend. So we'll do a lot more of college football as we head toward the end of the week. We also are expected to have Hall of Famer Steve Largent on the show tomorrow night. I'm going to talk to him during the afternoon because that's what fits his schedule. But he is not only a Football Hall of Famer, he's partnering with Mike Ditka and the Gridiron Greats, also with Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. So they partner together along with Hall of Famers to raise money and awareness for the Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund that was started by Mike Ditka. You know that we've partnered with Southern Recipe for years here on the show, and we'll be doing so in a very specific and tasty way, heading through the month of December, as well as into the football postseason, all the way to Vegas and Radio Row. So we're excited about that. Want to make sure you don't miss out, because it's not just about football. It is football and pigskins, and they go together. But it's really got an altruistic message and a great cause and a great push behind it. So we're excited for that. Again, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on either Twitter or Facebook. Vote for TD of the Week. And as I say, lots of goodies there on our social media. Have I stalled long enough? I might have. Okay, here you go. Here's the story of how I nearly set my house on fire. Definitely set my oven on fire. I actually put this on Twitter on Tuesday that because my Thanksgiving was unexpectedly solo, family plans got canceled because Bob had an emergency in his family. And so we were not able to go away for Thanksgiving. I was in New Jersey. I was home for most of Thanksgiving. And so as I was looking for a way to, inflect some joy, or I guess insert some joy into my Thanksgiving after our plans got canceled, I decided a new recipe was exactly what I needed. So, I found a recipe for walnut crunch pumpkin pie. Walnut crunch pumpkin pie. Now, I generally do like to make pumpkin pie, but this was something new. And it looked very tasty. It did not seem complicated. And so, I thought I would go bold with my dessert. Again, there's evidence of the fact that I had found and intended to try this new recipe. So, on Tuesday evening, I get up. Not working Tuesday night, off the rest of the week, think, okay, I'm going to dive in. This is going to make me happy. It's going to give me some kitchen joy, and it'll make my holiday a little bit brighter. So I do everything I need to do. I follow the recipe to a T. I put the pie in the oven, and it bakes for about 40 to 50 minutes. I pull it out of the oven. The knife comes out clean, for those of you who know, meaning the pie is done. You stick a knife into the center of it. If it comes out without any pumpkin on it, well, that's generally done. So I'm feeling good. The pie smells great. It looks real good. I take some pictures of it. And then after letting it cool for about 6 hours or so, this is now Tuesday night, I take the walnut mix that I've made. Now, this is walnuts and melted butter and brown sugar. That's it. That's all you put on top of the pie. So I spread the walnut mixture on top of the cooled pie. The reason you have to have it cool first is because you don't want the walnuts to sink into the pumpkin pie. You want it to the walnut mixture to sit on top. And the instructions call for putting it in the broiler, not the oven, but putting it in the broiler, which is a top heat. Okay, so it's the oven cooks from beneath your dish. The broiler cooks on top of your dish. So I heat up the broiler, but not all the way because I have a really hot broiler. And I insert the pumpkin pie with the walnut crunch mixture on top into the broiler. Now it says 2 to 3 minutes. Just long enough for it to start to gurgle, actually. It said if you see the pumpkin start to gurgle, will you take it out? all right, I'm good. I turn on the broiler. I don't even wait until it's completely hot, which I think is 550 degrees. I put the pie in and I wait. I don't think I wait very long. I'm brushing my teeth. I turned on the light just to check on it. It was good. It was starting to get warmed up. It wasn't quite gurgling, but I could see that it was heating up. I run upstairs to get rid of my toothbrush, to rinse out my mouth, and I get back downstairs. Maybe it was longer than I thought. I don't think so. It couldn't have been more than 4 minutes tops. I open up the broiler. The entire pie is on fire. As in, the whole top surface of the pie is engulfed in flames. I don't mean a little bitty flame like a candle. I don't mean a little bitty flame like a lighter. I mean the entire top of the pie and all the way around the crust on fire.
Oh no!
The flames were at least 4 inches high. We're not talking about a little bitty fire. We're talking about a fire in my oven. So as you can imagine, now I didn't panic, but I realized, okay, first thing, turn off the heat. So I turn off the broiler. Already at this point, I'm thinking, well, the pie is going to be toast. I can see that the crust has been burnt to a black crisp around the top of the pie dish. Stop
it. Main concern at this moment in time was, oh, no, I ruined the pie.
Oh, that's absolutely my main concern. That was my first thought is, no, my pie. It was so perfect. And now my pie is on fire. And as I say, I can tell that the crust is disintegrating. It's burning up. The middle of the pie is, I guess, because it was too close to the heat or because there was butter there, is all on fire. I do have photographic evidence, not of the fire, but of the aftermath, the char. I obviously did not. Well, my phone was actually upstairs. I did not run upstairs, grab my phone, and take a picture. So at least give me credit for that. My next thought is, how the heck do I get it out of my oven? It's on fire. We're not talking about little bitty flame. Yay. No, we're talking about blue and purple flames shooting out of this pie. So I get brave and I think, all right, now by this time I've turned off the broiler. I am going to take a couple of pot holders and see if I can get this puppy out of the oven and put it on my stovetop. Okay.
Full of flame.
Because it's now, yes, but it's now burning inside my oven. So it's leaving char inside my oven. So I do, I grab the thickest pot holders I have and I pull the rack out of the oven. Okay. So I didn't have to touch the pie dish for that. I pull the rack out of the oven and I do my best to slide these two pot holders to the outside lip underneath. And then I pull the pie out, still completely on fire. So now I set it on top of my stove, and there are flames shooting out of the top of the pie. So it's not going out by itself, is what I'm telling you. Okay, so I'll just, two things I'll admit to, because I really didn't know what to do in this moment. Number one, I tried to blow on it.
Give it more oxygen?
Well, I mean, there's oxygen filling the room. There was no way that I was going to put it out, but I tried. I thought maybe it'll be like candles on a cake. And so I attempted to blow it out. No, way too many flames, a bit of smoke then. And so I panicked and, well, I didn't panic, but I got a little nervous and I started turning on the fan on my stove just to try to keep it from setting off every fire alarm
That's
in the
good
house.
Idea.
I did not open the windows because it was below freezing outside. So I thought maybe that's not a great idea. Anyway, the blowing on the candles on this pie did not work. The candles, there were far too many candles. So then I briefly think, what if I grab the fire extinguisher? It's just around the door into my laundry room, which is off the kitchen. But then I realized if I do that, I'll have to redo my entire kitchen. I mean, you can't clean up from that. I could be wrong, but I think it takes a professional cleaner to get the fire extinguisher substance out of your kitchen.
Foam or whatever. I've actually never shot a fire extinguisher.
Shot?
Yeah.
I love that you just said a shot one. I've never used one either. I've never pulled the pin. But I didn't in this case. I figured there's got to be an easier way to put the fire out. By the way, fire's still burning. It's not going out by itself. Are you ready? Here's what I did. I grabbed the very thick pot holder, the thickest of the two pot holders, and started pounding.
Meshed it?
Yeah, I started flapping it in the air, and then boom, 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 all over the pie. It worked. That's how I got the pie out. Now, my pot holder is black and charred, but I got the fire out. Did you hear me just say on accident, I got the pie out? I got the fire out of the pie. That's what I did. I started, like a blanket that you would use to put, you see sometimes firefighters use blankets. Well, this was not a fire blanket, but it obviously was heat resistant because it's a pot holder. So I start just smashing the fire with the pot holder.
It's a prudent approach to take.
Thank you. And it did actually work, Mike Tomlin. It did work. So the pie was no longer on fire. There's still smoke, right, coming out of the top of the pie, and it is completely black. The crust is gone. You can't even see the crust of the pie anymore. It's completely gone. And the walnut crunch mix, black, because it was on fire.
No saving the pie at all at this
point. Well, I will admit that I realized there was, so I set the pie. I didn't even know what to do. I left the fan on for about 20 minutes. I went upstairs.
Yeah, I went through some pretty traumatic experience.
Yeah,
there.
The fan took care of the smoke, thankfully. I didn't even move the pie from where it was on the stove. I put a cover on it, you know, one of those covers that you would put in the microwave to warm your food to make sure you don't get food splatter all over. So I covered it with that and just left it and went to bed. Because by this time, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I can't. I put a fire out in my kitchen. I don't know what else to do.
Who won?
And I'm so disappointed about the pie because I had spent a couple hours and some brain power on a Tuesday evening, and now the pie is completely charred. The whole top. The crust is gone. My favorite part, the crust, all gone. And I didn't even get to try it. Ugh. So I go to bed. I cover it. I get up the next morning. There's a faint smell. It's not terrible. I take the top off the pie. I haven't eaten breakfast. I haven't had coffee. I realize in the middle, it's less charred. It's less burnt to a crisp than the outside. The outside, there was no redeeming. I grab a spoon. I poke through the top hole on the walnut crunch. So the middle was less charred. I scoop out some pumpkin. It was delicious. The pie was delicious. And because the crust had a layer of walnuts on the bottom, there actually was some of the walnut mixture on the bottom of the pie. It was so good. So I determined I would make another one, which I did on Wednesday. I spent a good chunk of Wednesday morning making another pie. I did not try the broiler again because I was afraid, very afraid. And actually, this is kind of funny. My turkey breast went in the crock pot. And because in the crock pot, it doesn't brown, the skin doesn't brown, you're supposed to take it out of the crock pot and put it in the broiler to brown for about 5 minutes. Very close to the heat, the recipe said. I was petrified. So the broiler's on. I'm thinking there's no way. I slid the rack down as far as it would go, but the turkey breast was obviously taller than the pie. So I put the pie on the top shelf as far away from the heat as I can. I start to hear it crackle.
Stop.
I'm worried that it's going to be on fire again. So I freak out and I turn off the broiler and just let it sit in there, which it did brown and it was great. But yeah, this was a fairly traumatic experience. I had to clean up the whole front of the stove from where I'd pulled the flames out from underneath the oven because the flames had turned my part of my stove black. Yeah, it was super fun. I set a pie on fire. I set my oven on fire, but I got it out. Using a very thick pot holder.
The broiling here.
Yeah.
It was just
supposed to warm up the walnuts enough to keep them sticky. Well, to make them stick together. So it made a firm layer over the top of the pie, right? So it was kind of a crunchy layer on top of the
delicious.
Pie. Oh, it is delicious. The second pie turned out really good. Unfortunately, the first pie. And then on Thanksgiving night, I just had to chuck the whole thing. I put it in the fridge. After I tasted the inside of it, I thought, well, maybe I could scoop some of it out and save some of the original pie.
Don't judge a burnt pie by its crust.
But it was so badly burnt that outside of the middle, so I was able to scoop some of the pumpkin out of the middle. Other than that, the rest of it tasted burnt. I suppose that's what happens when you set something on fire.
It's just now with that and with the turkey, with the broiler, now... Mm-hmm.
I'm a little afraid.
Right. Like, moving forward, what can be broiled, if anything, at this point?
Well, see, I broil a lot of my meats. Chicken, salmon. I even broil burgers at times because I like how they cook with the top heat. But I'm nervous now.
Yeah.
You've never seen my face like you saw it when I open up the oven and everything is on fire. Everything is on fire.
Was it like
the whole thing?
Like you open it up and it's like a, you know what I mean? Like shot back at you?
No, it wasn't. There was no, what's that called? Backdraft? There was no backdraft. That was a great movie, by the way.
There's
an old movie, but really good movie. Kurt Russell, I think, is in that.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, really good movie. No backdraft, just flames. As I'm telling you, 4 to 5 inches tall. And even when I pull it out of the oven, it's still burning on my stove. I do have a picture. Would you like to see it?
Of course I would.
Okay, I'll send it to you. You grab your phone. I'll send you the photographic evidence. You tell me if you think that I should. Do you think my baking reputation would be completely and utterly destroyed if I posted this photo on social media?
I don't, but that's where I'm going back to the whole broiler thing, where I don't think this is your fault. I think this broiler's out to, like, attack your food right now.
No, the turkey was great. I didn't have any issues with the turkey. So I'm going to show you the before and after the flames. And you tell me. No, the pie was actually really pretty until it was on fire. So I've sent you the photo. You tell me if that will destroy my baking reputation to the point where my cred is gone.
Oh my gosh.
Do you see how the crust was? It was nothing but black. The crust was gone. It burnt to a. It was burnt up. It was gone.
This picture, it's like making me sad.
We have to make you sad.
I almost feel like I see like the burnt pie crying. Like I can see it beforehand now. It's like got its whole life ahead of it. It's happy. And then it's just, what happened? Oh my gosh. It is like a perfect burn though around the crust.
Perfect burn?
Well,
It wasn't even a controlled burn.
it looked like that fire had a mission.
All right, Jay, if you think I should share the picture, I will. But I don't think that I can recover. There's no coming back from burning a pie in your oven.
It's not my baking rep on the line here. I don't think this would destroy your baking rep because you do see how good. Like, this is a finished product here, you know? And then it just was on that last final step, and it was out of your hands to why it got
Not out of my hands. It was in my oven. I apparently let it go under the broiler for too long.
I'm trying to help. I don't know. I'm trying to.
The pie is pretty, though. The second picture I sent you is of the next pie that I made. So it turns out great. It's just the first one was.
It's something.
It's burnt to a crisp.
I think you should share it.
Don't be like me.
I think you. It's kind of like a life lesson here, where the first one went poorly, and
I failed miserably. Just sell it like it is. I failed miserably.
I don't know. I don't want to go that far.
No, I threw the entire pie in the garbage, other than a little bit that I scooped out in the middle. I suppose failure was not the end because I learned from it, and I made a much better pie for Thanksgiving Day. And by the way, my friend Jasmine, who realized I would be alone and decided she would invite herself for Thanksgiving dinner. Thank you, Jazz. I did realize that. And for that reason, I made another pie, which was delicious.
I mean, the colors on the burnt one, it looks almost like a piece of like abstract art that could be hanging in like a museum.
Stop it. You are not making this any better.
It does, though.
I just got a text from my friend Danielle. I need to see the picture. I'm dying laughing.
It's quite the photo. That's all I'll say.
All right. Maybe. I'll think about it. Should we vote? Do you want to see the photo of Amy's burnt pie?
I think it needs the before and
charred
after, though.
Charred pie.
Like it needs the comparison. If you're going to post, you got to post them both. Have to. Because it's... You can't believe those are the same thing. But they are.
Oh my gosh. I called Bob's mom, my future mother-in-law, to tell her the story because I thought she needed some holiday cheer. She laughed so hard she cried. I even told Bob, I can't tell you the story until I tell mom because she needs some cheering up. And so I did call her and tell her and sent her the photo, and she thought it was epic.
It's the photo makes it.
I said, "You're never going to let me bake a pie for you, are you?" And she said, "Oh. You could bake the pie for Christmas if you want.
Just not in her kitchen."
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Maybe I'll share the photos. If I'm feeling brave, I'll share the photo of how I set a pie and my oven on fire, because there is photographic evidence. I hope your Thanksgiving was less flammable than mine. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to talk about Felix, the pet insurance brand made just for cats. Starting at under $1 a day, you can get whisker-to-tail protection with a plan as unique as your cat. Sorry, dogs. This customizable coverage is exclusively for feline friends. Learn more at felixcatinsurance.com. That's felixcatinsurance.com. Get it? Meow.
Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. Visit felixcatinsurance.com/terms for all terms and limitations.
Introducing Carvana Value Tracker, where you can track your car's value over time and learn what's driving it. It might make you excited.
Whoa, didn't know my car was valued this high.
It might make you nervous.
Uh-oh, market's flooded. My car's value just dipped 2.3%.
It might make you optimistic.
Our low mileage is paying off. Our value's up.
And it might make you realistic.
Car prices haven't gone up in a couple weeks. Maybe it's time to sell.
But it will definitely make you an expert on your car's value. Carvana Value Tracker. Visit Carvana.com to start tracking your car's value today.
You're staring at the computer screen and have written, then deleted the same sentence over and over again. Your work needs to get done, but the writer's block is real. That's where the free Odyssey app can help, with thousands of podcasts to boost your mood, inspire you, and even teach you a thing or two. Jump into Glennon Doyle's We Can Do Hard Things, The Tony Kornheiser Show, and say more with Dr. Sheila, starring Amy Poehler. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening. Your favorite mood break, your Odyssey.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors, it helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Fields lines up in the gun, drops back five, right tackle block, winds up, line drive down the field, caught with the leap at the 25. Grabbed and running down to the 20-yard line is DJ Moore, and spins by the 15 and down near the 12-yard line of Minnesota. What a throw by Fields! 37-yard gain! Timeout Vikings!
We only really needed 15, 18 yards to make it nice, in terms of our kick line there. But, obviously when you get that big chunk there, it kind of seals the deal there. And, DJ runs a beautiful one cut. He's a great route runner.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Matt Eberflus, head coach of the Chicago Bears, as they win their fourth on the season. And as much as they limped to the finish line and did not score a touchdown against the Vikings in Minneapolis, that 3rd-and-10 conversion with the DJ Moore catch, maybe he's wide open. You hear with Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. He found a seam. He found a spot, just an opening in the middle of the defense. And Justin Fields fired a bullet to him. And so Moore was able to catch it a couple of yards after catch, dragged a few defenders with him. And already they were in field goal range. And so aggressive on 3rd-and-10, and DJ Moore knew exactly where to go so that Justin Fields would find him. Center of the field, completely exposed by that Vikings defense. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, Justin Fields had a pair of turnovers on back-to-back fourth quarter drives. And after the second one, the Vikings, you would think, with 3.5 minutes to go, would be in great position. Except they go 3 and out. the offense managed one touchdown, just one, four interceptions by Josh Dobbs. I think three of them were actually tipped, either off the hands of the receiver or tipped by a Bears defender, Bear lineman, and then hauled in for the turnover. It was a mess. And early on, so there were two interceptions in the first half. Early on, even when the Vikings had the football, they did absolutely nothing with it. When the stats were so lopsided in the first half, the Bears were unable to capitalize, though, on their opportunities in terms of getting into the end zone, or this turns into a major blowout. So the Bears were only officially 0-for-2 in the red zone. But their field goals, ultimately having enough points off the foot of their kicker, was all that they needed, because they dominated time of possession and they won the turnover battle. They hold the Vikings to just 73 yards rushing. And they actually have a pretty sweet conversion. Initially, you may have seen that Justin Fields started out 12-for-12. He completed his first 12 passes, and they also started out 3-for-3 on third down. But after that, really dropped off. If you can win a game by doing nothing except kicking field goals, it means your defense is doing something right. And that certainly was the case for this Bears defense that's received this injection, infusion of energy and athleticism. I really love the attack mode, the attack mentality for Montez Sweat. And so they end up sacking Josh Dobbs a couple of times, but putting pressure on him a ton. And sometimes forcing him either out of the pocket, you know, he can be pretty creative when he runs, but out of the pocket and either throwing on the run or not having time to get his feet set or even having to get rid of the ball far too quickly. So in addition to the two sacks, they have 9 extra hits and a bunch of passes defensed. Montez Sweat with a sack and a half, plus a tackle for loss, plus a pair of hits of Josh Dobbs. So the defense gets a ton of credit for the way this game went, constantly giving the ball back to Justin Fields and the offense. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, Bears are now 4-8, so no one's talking playoffs, but they're also not giving up on the season.
Relief. You know, we came in at halftime. We were up. Defense was playing a great game. Offense kind of got to a slower start that we wanted to, but, you know, nothing that mattered in the first half mattered to us, you know, starting the second half. So that was, you know, our message was just finish, 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 because, you know, there's been too many times this season where we've been up. You know, we didn't do a good job of finishing. So, again, just going back, proud of everyone for fighting through the end, you know, no matter what had happened, and, you know, finishing the game out and, you know, ultimately got the dub.
So Justin goes 27 of 37, not a ton of yardage, but does complete, as I say, first 12 passes and has a good rhythm at times. Also ran for 59 yards. Still not sure exactly what they're trying to do with the offense. Sometimes I think they want to set him free and let him play some instinctual football. Other times, I don't know. I just know that the more you allow your quarterback to run when he's your primary back, number one, you've got defenders who are ball hawking. They're attempting to strip that ball away from you whenever they can. And he did lose 2 fumbles. You put your quarterback out there, or he puts himself out there, and you're open game. Unless you slide, which a lot of times guys do, but if you're going to take off and attempt to make a big play, going to get downfield, well, defenders are coming after you and they're trying to get that ball away from you. And then when you run, you get hit more often. It's just standard. And so there's a much higher risk of injury when you're out from behind the protection of your offensive line, such as it is, and you're kind of in no man's land. So it's not always a great recipe for an extended career. And we know Justin's missed multiple games this year and last year because of injuries. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. As for Josh Dobbs, after the Vikings kind of ride that wave to the first two wins post Kirk Cousins, they see their winning streak come to an end now these last couple of games, and the four interceptions, a career high for Josh Dobbs.
Turnovers, you know, really control the game. And so it starts with me and taking care of the football with my decision making. No matter what happens on the other end, it's, you know, giving the receiver a good ball and getting the ball to where it needs to go based on the coverage. So I acknowledge it, man. I'm frustrated with myself.
As much as he's done some really good things for us, he's still getting comfortable in our pass game, play pass game, knowing where your quick eligibles are to put the ball in play, drop back pass, taking the right footwork, feet and eyes, all those things.
So Kevin O'Connell and Josh Dobbs still trying to figure it out. But as you heard from Paul Allen, if you were listening last hour, the voice of the Vikings, this was an offense built for Kirk Cousins. And now they're having to retool it for a guy who runs. But I do think that Josh Dobbs is thoughtful and kind of understands what is necessary. And so I like what he says about how the Vikings can fix this moving forward.
Be clean, catch and throw, despite whatever's going on the other side of the ball, we can get the ball in offense, man. Go out and execute, do what we can do, and we do that. Like, we'll score more than 10 points, especially with our defense playing the way that we do, and we'll be good to go and put ourselves in better positions to win in the end of the game.
Yeah, clean football, right? Clean football. Don't turn the ball over, and that's half the battle. And the Vikings know it well. Remember, they started out the season 0-3, and we're losing the turnover battle 7-1. And now here they are, continuing to turn the ball over again. And it just makes it so much more difficult to win. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, no, I have not yet shared the photo of the charred pie that set my oven on fire. And I'm still thinking about it. Maybe with some encouragement, I will share it. But I feel like it might ruin my baking rep, my baking cred. But on Twitter, you can find our poll for TD of the week. And you can also make sure you vote for these last few minutes in Monday MVP, our Facebook page too. And tonight's question for you, who are the worst owners in pro sports? A lot of Bob Nutting of the Pirates, a lot of John Fisher of the Oakland /
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.
Vegas A's. In the Bay Area, they echo that sentiment. Who are the worst owners in pro sports? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Fourth and goal from the 31-yard line. Here's the snap. Milroe stands in, lets everybody get downfield. Still standing. He throws into the end zone.
He caught it.
It's caught! It's caught by Isaiah Bond! Caught by Isaiah Bond in the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Alabama! The Crimson Tide with 32 seconds to go in the ball game. Throwing a Hail Mary into the corner of the end zone, and Isaiah Bond.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The great Eli Gold on Learfield calling the end of the Iron Bowl. Yet another epic finish. This one is right up there with the kick six. I'm not sure which one's better. But a decade apart, they are two moments in college football we will be seeing forever. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jalen Milroe, what was going through your mind as you're facing 4th and 31 and a loss at Auburn?
What people don't know is my dad and I, you know, since we were little and we trained, we was all about repetition. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Whether it was an out route, a go ball, a post ball, a dig, we threw that ball probably 150 times. constantly throwing the ball until I can't miss, until I mess up, honestly. And I'm all about perfection. So that's the biggest thing, you know, with my dad, a quick story right there. But with that play, it was all about the 11 guys. You go, start up front. They did a really good job being patient, being sound, fundamental, and taking care of the guys that rushed. And then with that play, you know, the biggest thing about that play was we repeatedly work on that play every single week. And it was an opportunity to take advantage of it. And, you know, we were successful.
They definitely were a stunner. So it was Milrow to Isaiah Bond. He was asked the same question about that 4th and 31, 4th and forever touchdown in the corner of the end zone. If you haven't seen it, first of all, the ball was thrown in a place where only he could get it. He uses his length and his reach and also his athleticism, she said. He pushes off on one foot. He leaps into the air, almost like a can opener, he looks like at one point. Arms up, snags the football, and it would have been a touchdown in the pros because both of his feet he manages to get down in bounds. Really incredible. And I know they can say they practice it a bazillion times, but you don't practice it in game conditions. So the fact that it happens with all that pressure and time running out is just as astounding.
Big time players make big time plays, honestly. It's one quote my mom instilled in me as a young child. So going out there in a big time moment, it just felt regular, honestly. So going out there and making a play, just another day, another job.
Yeah, congratulations to Alabama and Nick Saban, who did say they practice Hail Mary. So we know it's Alabama and Georgia who will be facing one another in the SEC championship. That comes up on this Saturday, 4 o'clock Eastern time. And it's familiar foes. But is this healthy for the college game? This is a question that was asked of Nick Saban. I'm not sure that I would have asked the same question, because how can it not be healthy to have these two meeting in the SEC championship? But he was asked that question in advance of this game coming up on the weekend.
All these sort of, you call them rivalry games, you know, some of them are instilled in the culture, like the Auburn game, the Iron Bowl. That's part of the culture. You know, people have been watching that game for how many years? And it's always going to be that. And then, you know, some of these other sort of rivalry games, as you call them, aren't traditional rivalries. But because there's two really good teams playing, and it's been historically that way for a while, they become those kind of games. And, you know, that's kind of what this has become. So, you know, you don't get an opportunity to play against a team who's won, you know, 29 straight games very often, which speaks to their quality. But it also speaks to the challenge and the opportunity that, you know, our team has in preparing for a team like this.
I'm excited about championship weekend. It's one of my favorite weekends on the entire sports calendar. And then on the heels of that, we get the final college football playoff rankings. Because I spent part of my Thanksgiving weekend, I flew into Austin. There are signs of Texas everywhere. And then spent most of the weekend about an hour north of Austin in Temple, Texas. For that reason, I got a healthy dose of the chatter about Texas and everything that needs to happen for the Longhorns to get into the college football playoff. We were all watching Auburn, Alabama, and the Iron Bowl live at the end, a big group of people from Bob's family watching this at the end of the game, and the roars that went up, the reaction. And this is not in Alabama. This is in Texas. And yet college football fans, they're invested and are looking for chaos. So it was a wild rivalry weekend. We'll get to Ohio State and Michigan next hour. Not so much going over the game, but now we have Jim Harbaugh back in charge of his program. He's no longer sidelined. He's praising the interim head coach and the staff that were filling in for him while he was out. And weirdly enough, he tries to throw some cold water on the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry the way that I didn't throw cold water on my burning pie, my pie that was in flames. The hot the hot pad and the pot holder seem to do the trick. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.